You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, Hannies. It's Amir Yasai, and you're back for season two of The Take On.
Hi, my little lovelies. It's Amir Yas back with The Take On. I'm so happy. I'm in LA. I just had Sugarfish. I'm just like living, you know, I'm so happy. So I just needed to say that. And what even makes me happier is being here with Amanda Scott from Suite Life. Issa Rae produced. I mean, the music on this show is fabulous. It's on HBO Max. If you haven't seen it, you're missing out. It's just Black excellence, Black girl magic to the max. So I'm just so happy to have Amanda here. Amanda, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Amir. How are you? I'm good.
I am good too. I'm just, you know, like I've binged all of it. I'm just very happy to, again, like for me, just seeing young Black, you know, excellence is just so like refreshing. And it's like, I was talking to someone about it today. It's like, it's so aspirational, but also in some ways attainable because you guys demystify how you got the wealth and how you got, you know, your influence. So I think that that's the best part of the show.
Yeah. Honestly, like when I hear people say it's an aspirational show, I'm like, chill. No, it's not. I mean, yes, like we do go on like, you know, an extravagant vacation and like,
right,
you know, like amazing parties. But a lot of those things, like those are things we were doing just on a day to day before even getting on the show. So, I mean, it's aspirational and like I hope that people are inspired, but very much so feasible for, you know, someone just like us.
I love that. We love feasible, you know, like when I worked as, you know, a publicist and you work in Hollywood I've worked now 15 years, I've met everybody and you see how like even people that are A-list, it's like there was a route to that, right? We all started zero followers. We all started zero. And I think that you guys did a really good job of showing that, like, you know, like even like, for example, like Bree's story, right? Like the way that you show, okay, right? She's like on a growth level. She's not like, hey, I'm perfect, you know, right off the bat, which is very, you know, showing that vulnerability on TV is not very easy. Like people make it seem like it's easy, but it's not to be vulnerable like that. So
no, it's not. And she's really just isn't. So transparent and mm-hmm. Her position, her like current position and where she wants to go, where she came from. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like of all of our castmates, she really shared like her full story, or at least, you know, in what you could get in a season of a show. And that's why she's one of my favorite characters, because you can literally see the growth from episode to episode.
Totally. And I so echo that. You're absolutely right. Now let's rewind a little bit before we jump right into like the show and stuff. I want to hear about the process. Like you said, obviously you guys were partying like this. You were kind of networking, you know, doing those dinners, you know, like you guys were all doing that stuff. Where did Issa Rae, did she find one of y'all? Like what was the process of like Issa Rae's involvement in, you know, getting on HBO Max? Because that's not, you know, she's one of the busiest girls in Hollywood. So for her to reach out, that's a huge, you know, it's a huge deal. So talk to me a little bit.
Yeah.
About that.
I mean, I'm still in awe, honestly, that I am like on the show and connected to her in some way. Mm-hmm. I think that she had reached out to some folks just like trying to find, you know, a group of friends, young Black professionals that kind of are like-minded in the people on the cast. And so I think Jordan was approached first. Okay. And he kind of conjured the guys. I think he went to Gerald, and Gerald had some friends. So they kind of all made up the group of guys. And then okay. It was like, okay, cool. We have a solid, and this is me talking, girl. I could be wrong. But it was like, okay, we have a solid group of guys. And then Gerald reached out to Ty Lynn on the show.
Okay.
It was like, hey, you know, who do you know, basically? And so they loved her and they're like, well, do you have any other girlfriends that might be interested? And so Ty Lynn extended the invitation to both me, Brianna, and Becky, and I did my casting tape, and then it just kind of went from there. I honestly never thought it was real until it was like day one of filming. Like something in my mind was telling me like, this is not going to happen. Like this, no way I'm going to be on reality TV. This is crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, like, I love that it's happened so organically, because that doesn't really happen anymore, especially with like me doing a lot of, I know a lot of Bravo people, and it's very like a friend of, but they're not really friends. It's like, but you guys are genuinely friends. And even the way that Tylin cries, like the things you guys do for her, it seems so genuine. Like it would seem like someone like at her level or like at the level that you guys are at wouldn't care about like a bag or what, but it's like, you guys are so genuinely touched when you're doing stuff for each other. And I think that that's part of where a lot of people relate to the show. Cause I saw on Twitter, a lot of people were like, I would be friends with these people. And I think nowadays with reality TV, it's like we kind of like love to hate them. But I feel like this show, we're loving to love you guys. It's a little different.
Yeah. Okay. So when I was watching it, I kind of got that feeling too. Like if I wasn't on the show, I would love these people. Like Brianna, I would totally love her. Tylin and these like amazing event experiences. It's like, I actually want to be friends with these folks. Whereas like, you know, some of the older like franchise reality shows, it's like, you know, who's going to be the villain this season, you know, or like who's going to be the newbie that we're going to like antagonize a bit. But with watching our show, I feel like people see a slice of themselves. Yes. And then if they're not from LA, they see like a true essence of LA and South LA, which really grounds us. And I think a big differentiator for us was like having all of our parents on there.
I love your parents.
Really, really like grounded all of us. Like, yes, we're Black excellence per se, or, you know, we have all these things going, but we're still someone's children.
Exactly. The
and they made that very clear. You know, the parents were like, you are mine before you are HBO's.
Oh, I love that. That was like one of my favorite things. Cause a lot of times when like parents are on a show, they tend to be like kind of disapproving or they're kind of like creating issues. And I felt like the parents were just kind of additive, which I think is really refreshing. And like, that's what I really enjoyed about it was I felt like, okay, the parents are adding something to the story. And I thought that was really, really lovely. Especially, I can't remember which character it was, but the dad like really broke down and started crying. And just to see like, a straight Black man cry on TV. Like, I don't think people understand, for anyone who doesn't get it, like, that's a big deal. Like, even me being Persian, seeing a Persian man cry on TV or seeing like a gay Persian man like Reza on Shaws of Sunset, like for someone like me, that's really important. I think for like Black straight men to see their dad cry, I think that's a really, really, really powerful thing. So
I think that is so epic to me, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a few just like of my favorites. We could talk all day, but that specifically, that highlight just Black men expressing emotion.
Yes.
Outside of like, you know, messing with girls or, you know, sports, like the things that they're stereotypically passionate about. Right. Seeing them express emotion, I think Jordan kind of cried in a scene with his best friend, Gerald, and his dad shared a really true moment. That's not something that I don't think I've ever really seen on TV.
Me neither.
Has something to do with like Black trauma, you know, like someone passing away or some type of brutality. And so watching that on TV and encouraging like my younger cousins who are Black males to watch, that has been probably one of the highlights for me. Like, I can't believe that, you know, my friends are on TV really being themselves and being true to themselves and opening up for the world to see. That's like so amazing to me.
Absolutely. And I also think like what you said is really important too, like that trauma porn and me being queer and Muslim, like you better believe when I'm in these rooms with these white executives, they like foam at the mouth of the trauma, right? The bullying, like, tell us more about how much people hate you.
Tell us more about the
They love that shit. So for me to see you guys not doing that, like, and obviously like, of course, with 2020, what happened with George Floyd, of course we want to talk about it and a lot of shows covered it, but I love that like for a second, we could see you guys just being Black excellent and just being Black beautiful men. And not having to focus on like that trauma side of it, you know, like, and to be like in Inglewood and at a coffee shop. Like, I'm sure a lot of people that watched are like, oh, they have hipster coffee shops in Inglewood. Like, a lot of people don't know that if they're not from LA.
And they be Black owned too. Like, most places we went to were in our own backyards, in our own communities. And a lot of them were Black owned, woman owned, minority owned. And so, having just those type of things on display is really what I feel like separates our show from a lot of other shows. Really.
It really does. It really, and that's for me where I was even, and I'm like from California, grew up in LA, and like, I was still taking notes. I'm like, I have to check out this restaurant. I have to check out this coffee shop, because even as someone who's like a native, I'm still like, more to explore, you know? And I think that the show did a really good job.
Amir, we have to get lunch.
Honey, we're already friends, so you better make time for me in your busy schedule. But you know, and then also just like ways where I felt like I'm friends with Evelyn Lozado from Basketball Wives, and I love those shows. I love Love and Hip Hop. Like, I don't have a problem with those shows, but they also, again, I'm not part of the Black community, obviously I'm Persian, but I feel like sometimes shows like that will take us one step forward, a bunch of steps backwards. I don't think your show did that. Like, aside from the fight at Talon, like in Mexico, even that didn't get so aggressive. I thought like it could have been more dramatic, you know, like, so I felt like, how did you guys, was there like a meeting of the minds where you were like, even if we have a disagreement, let's not like go all the way left? Or did you guys just kind of, that's just how you are. You're a bit more even keeled.
Yeah. So honestly, like similar to how we were talking about the men expressing their emotions and it not being surrounded around trauma, right. I think the show does a really good job of having the ladies not be, you know, throwing drinks or fighting, because that's typically, you know, kind of what you see on women reality shows.
Absolutely.
For us, it was never presented in a way where that was the expectation, right?
Okay.
It was never presented as like a shady, you know, salacious kind of thing. We really were presented with like this idea of Black excellence,
right.
You know, Black luxury, profiling South LA. Like those were the themes that were like presented to us. And so I don't think any of our cast members really went into it ever thinking like, you know, we need to give them something or like we need to, you know, spice it up a bit, because that's just not how it was presented to us. And honestly, I felt comfortable in that it was a Hooray and Issa Rae production, and that those are not really things that she aligns herself with either.
No.
You know,
no.
So I felt comfortable being myself and not taking it there. Because I don't, you know, that's probably not something that she wants from us and like, you know, our audience wanted to see. So it wasn't necessarily, it was kind of like an unspoken thing, right? It was just like, we're not going to do that. Like, we're not going to take it there, which I think you see that on display. I think you see that on display in Cabo where Tylin is like, you know, I really don't want to talk about this here right now, you know? So we see that kind of on display.
I like that. I like that she was like, we're not doing this on camera. And I think sometimes reality TV stars like, well, and I'm friends with a lot of like Bravo people, and they're always like, I don't know if I can say something. I'm like, this show is about you. So if you want to stop the cameras, you do have some power. So I think that like you guys never really lost your power, which and really correcting that narrative. And even when Jordan, like, for example, talked to his mom and was like, you know, and she was like, you're wrong. Like, you know, that I thought that like that's kind of cool, where you're not like, the mom's not trying to be cool on camera and be like, oh, I'm gonna agree with my son. She was like, you're wrong. Like, you know, I thought that was
to explain, you know, both sides, which I think again, just the parents, they were so pivotal for us on the show, I think.
They really were. Speaking of pivotal parents, I want to talk about your parents and obviously going to a home that you own, and like, what did that feel like? Because I mean, I can only imagine that just feels like so just fucking amazing.
Yeah, it honestly, it was like a little surreal, just because I see myself as like still, you know, 18, 19, 21, like a young person who like,
I mean, how old are you, girl? You're like 25. I'm sure.
25, right? But I just don't feel, to me, when I was younger, 25 years old felt like extreme adulting, like
girl, wait till you get to 35, 30 to 35 box, honey. It's a different world.
And now that I'm here, exactly. Now that I'm here, I'm like, I can't believe I thought that these people were adults, because I am still a child.
I know. They throw a lot at us. Like, you literally can't go to, like, you can't drink, but you're supposed to have a credit card and a bank account. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So being there with my parents felt really surreal, because I couldn't believe that it was mine. Like, the things, looking at all the four walls, was like, these all belong to me. Like, they're not my parents. It's not really like a shared situation going on here. Like, this is all me. So that was really surreal for me. And it was just really great that I wanted to make sure that my parents were present for the housewarming, right? Like, of course, my friends and things were there, but they really are the reason that I was able to accomplish something as big as home buying, just with the inspiration, the motivation, like
right.
the extension of like resources, introducing me to their friends, lenders, et cetera. So I wouldn't have it any other way than to have them be there, regardless if my friends were there or not, you know?
Exactly. And I love that scene. It was like, I felt like it was like my mom when your mom was like, okay, we're going to decorate like this. We're going to do, and you were like, this is my home. Like, this is my, I'm doing it my way.
My mom is like the home goods queen. Like, she thinks that she's like a brand ambassador or something, which she honestly should be.
Love her for that.
So she just like stays in home goods and interior design. So when I bought the house, she's just like over the moon about that. Part. Like, I can't wait to get in here.
I love that.
Yeah, she's ecstatic. That.
That's amazing. I hate to do this because it is like, obviously I do my research. So I saw some of the Twitter comments that are a little bit on the shady side. And, you know, there's those naysayers and people that are like, oh, you know, I just want to give you the chance to clear this up. Like Issa Rae is paying for the house, or Issa Rae is like, you know, buying the home that you're staying at in Mexico. Can you clear that up?
I wish she paid for my house, girl. I would have so many more.
Right. I'm like, that girl is, listen, Issa Rae has stack on stacks, but she's not going to like make a fake show. I mean, I just want you to clear it up because that did come up a couple times. And I just want to give you the chance to clear it up because some of these shows, like, let's be honest, let's like not pretend there's not an elephant in the room. But if you guys were a white cast, would anyone question where the money's coming from?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That's important to mention.
Well, I can just say like the house is fully executed, purchased, signed by me and me.
Yes,
only.
Honey. Yes.
I moved from Oakland back home to move in with my parents to save. So like I sacrificed a lot to be able to do that.
Smart girl.
I know that, you know, home buying and home ownership at age 25 is not really something that you see. So, you know, people will come up with a thousand different ways that they made it happen, but it was really just the sweat off my back, the sweat off my back, honestly. And as far as like the events and things, like all of us, everything that you see on screen are things that we were doing prior to ever knowing about the show, to ever being approached about the show. These are all things that we were doing. Thailand really does have 23 best friends. We really go on international vacations every year for her birthday.
Love that.
You know, like, Jordan really does have a multi-million dollar clothing line that he's been grinding out since high school. I remember having Hypeland sweatshirts and hoodies in high school, literally.
Oh my God, amazing. I Googled that. I looked it up and I saw a store next to Supreme. I mean, people that are naysaying can go and do the research. I mean, listen, people say this stuff to me. You bought followers, you're fake. No. You're fake. Gosh,
I hope nobody ever says that about me and the followers because, Amir, before the show, my account was on private. Okay. Like
it was, honey, you better be private. That's true fame. When you go from private to public, because you're on a freaking show, honey, that's ultimate fame.
I was private AF. Like,
yes, honey,
you didn't know me. You really didn't know me.
I love that. I love that for you. I love that for you. And I love that your energy too. Like you have this like beautiful way of operating in the show where all eyes are on you. Like I didn't take my eyes off of you, but you didn't suck the air out of the room, which is a really hard thing to do, is to be attractive, but then not like be like annoyingly center of attention. Like you did that beautifully. I got to give you your flowers for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I tried not to just like over insert myself into everything for like the sake of camera time. Right. Like I was just like, wherever they ask me and wherever I can add value, I'll be there. But I try not to just like with the podcast situation, I try not to just like insert my own like opinions and thoughts or whatever. I was there absolutely to tell people, you know, when they were right or wrong or to hold themselves accountable. But I did try just not to like be that girl, you know, because it's easy. It's so easy because they give you camera time. They're like, do whatever you want. You know, like this is your time. And it's easy to kind of lose that like groundedness. So I tried to just stay focused on like what I had going on in my personal story.
Absolutely. Which I mean, I thought you did that beautifully. And like, even with your, you know, your boyfriend and him being a teacher and stuff, and like, even the way you handled him not coming to Mexico, I felt like you could have dramatized some of that stuff, like to get more like camera time.
You think I should have?
No, I don't think you should. I think you were being very authentic. And I liked it because I felt like, a grown person, like me being grown myself, like if my boyfriend had to work and I was on a trip with my friends, I would be bummed to the level that you were, but I wouldn't elevate it for camera time. You could have really done like a whole crying on the beach thing. You could have gotten really upset. You didn't do any of that.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing, like I would have 1,000% wanted him there. If I could go back and change it, that's what I would change. Right. But like, I wasn't going to ruin this beautiful Cabo vacation by being in my feelings, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we had definitely had our FaceTime dates. I was like, call him every morning to show him the beach and things. Cute. But like, I couldn't, you know, and it also was not my birthday. It'd be different if it was my birthday, you know? But I think we did a good job. He was like very present. You know, we had the scene about paying all the rent versus splitting the bills.
Yes,
so he's still very much so present. And I know he felt good that all the guys like kind of jumped in on the conversation and we kind of all shared that moment together. So I thought that was really special.
I thought that was really, really cool too. And I wanted to ask you about that too with the guys, with that whole podcast thing. Were there parts that we didn't see? Because I thought they were all opening up. It was vulnerability. And I got up to get a coffee. And when I came back, it was like all hell had broken loose. So what happened between the crying and the emotions and like this black healing? And then all of a sudden it was like everyone turned on each other. Was there parts that we didn't see? Like, was it edited that way? I kind of got lost for me.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't there either, right?
Of course.
But I did get the story 1,000 times from pretty much everyone. There was a lot. The podcast, all these scenes are like hours and hours and hours long.
Right.
So there's people online like interpreting, you know, 5 minutes of like 120-minute conversation. But yeah, there was a ton more to discuss. I think the show did a good job of like highlighting everyone, saying what their anxieties were. I loved PJ and just being authentic and saying like, I don't even know how to have this conversation with you guys because I don't know how to process my emotions.
That was powerful.
The realest kind of moment because you could tell he really meant that.
Absolutely. Especially coming from him, that really shocked me because let's be honest, I'm not trying to be mean, but he's the face of fuckboyery. Like, I mean, his behavior is like not the best.
And the curl and the breaking up on the boat. Yeah.
Ooh, like he brought that Miami girl, which we are going to get to. But I, you know, with PJ, like I thought that was really cool that he was, because sometimes not saying anything is more powerful than saying a bunch of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was cool. Yeah, that was really cool. But go ahead. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. But
No worries. Yeah, so I think everyone was going around kind of saying, you know, what brings them anxiety. And Jalen brought up the topic of finances. And I think it would have been awesome for everyone to speak on, you know, how finances play a role in their current situation or in their anxieties, right? Like, Jordan is pretty well off. Like, for me, I'm like, so like, do you sometimes feel like people are using you for money or do you feel like women want you because of money?
Right.
PJ, like you're on the grind, right? We've seen him in like his car, which I have a Toyota, like it's no shade at all, but we see him at a different level. Like, do you feel anxieties about that? But I think that it just got really heated when Jordan started to take things a little bit personally and feel like personally attacked. I think he was just triggered. And so there was a lot more like discussed, but the editors just kind of chopped it up into like, this is basically what happened. They like gave the super Cliff Notes version. Cause it did. I was watching, I'm like, damn, this escalated super fast.
But
when you ask Rob and Jalen, it really did escalate fast, just like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. I'm happy we cleared, because I got that question a lot. People DM me asking about like, you know, the editing of that. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so I was kind of shocked at how dramatic and pretty shady the men were. Like, I thought that you guys were going to be the ones, but they were the ones that were at the center of a lot of the gossiping and a lot of the drama. Was that surprising to your friend group that the boys were kind of the dramatic ones?
Honestly, not really. That's only because they have a lot of just like growing and like learning to do in there, like as guys. And so I feel like we kind of saw that play out with just like PJ and Jordan and the women. And then like Gerald kind of like feeling like he never wants to be in it. So they had a lot of like figuring out to do as the men. I feel like on the women's side, we were all pretty solid, right? Like me and Tylin, that's like one of my best friends.
Right.
Brianna, Becky, like we're all really good friends. And so we were really sure and like grounded in who we were. So like a lot of the things, it was just like, I'm not going for that, you know? Whereas like on the guy side, it was kind of like it needed to be like a dialogue or an engagement. Like, okay, so did you deal with both of these girls? Is it okay if I dealt with both of these girls? You know, whereas like on the girl side, we're so past that in like our friendship. It's like not even like on the table.
I got you. It seems like you guys are like family.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like the girl. And then speaking of family, like, listen, I'm not judging because I'm a Gemini and I get very possessive. But correct me if I'm wrong. In Mexico, with all the best friends and stuff, did you start to get a little like not? I don't think the word possessive is right, but a little like, she has too many friends. Like, I would get like that. Did you feel that at any point?
Yeah, I think I was truthful to Ty Lynn, and I think I said in one scene, like, I've been preparing, like mentally preparing for this trip for like a week now. Mm-hmm. And that's not because of like her or her friends directly. That's just being, I'm an Aquarius, you know, like that's being around 30 people at one point in general. Don't know, regardless of who it is.
I know my ex was Aquarius, like the brunch hit six people. He's like, this is too many people.
Yeah. It's just it's just like, who are these people? You know, like I want to make sure, like I want to feel comfortable. And then I didn't have my boo there for my like safe space. So yeah, I think I did get a little bit just like, possessive, like, you know, Thailand is my friend. Like I want to be with her, but some of it, and I'll say like the whole head best friend thing, like some of that was just like dramatization. I can be honest in that. Like, I didn't really care. I love Thailand's friends. Ashley and Thailand are really great friends. They're like, they work together in business. Like, I would never try to like upstage or like, you know, be weird. So that part was definitely dramatization. However, who I am as a person, like my character, I go hard for my friends. Like I ride for my friends and I'm very territorial about them. So that's the way that the show kind of like pushed that characteristic to the TV screen, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Interesting. It does. It does. It absolutely does. I felt like that part was probably the only part in the whole season where I felt like this is being, because they kept mentioning head best friend and the best friends. And, you know, I felt like it was
a little bit too, you know?
Yeah, and you got to dramatize a little bit. Like, I mean, I know Housewives of New York, you know, Ramona had like 60 best friends. I mean, are all of those people her best friends? I don't know, but like there's a little bit of dramatization. These are my head best friends. I mean, they do that because it's kind of salacious, especially to someone watching. And even if Thailand does have 23 best friends, most people have like two or three, right? So it's dramatic in of itself. So like, I totally get that.
But just to be clear, Thailand really does have 23 best friends. Like all those folks there were really her like best friends.
No, I believe it. She's like one of those sweet souls.
And significant others.
Wow. No, I believe that because her energy is like so sweet and she doesn't want her friends. I can tell she's not a high maintenance friend. And I think that's why everyone showed up. I mean, for everyone to show up during a pandemic in Mexico, like not that like you wouldn't, it's a beautiful house, but for everyone to show up with their significant others, like with work and pandemic times, like I thought that says a lot about who she is.
That's exactly. She has a really, really infectious spirit and she's like open and welcoming to all. So people always just feel like, yeah, you know, I'm doing whatever Thailand is doing. Like, she really does have like really great friends because she's a great friend to others.
I could see that. I could really, really see that. I wanted to ask you one more question, then we'll play a fun game before I let you go. So I want to ask you about, so on Twitter, there was a lot of questions around obviously gentrification in Inglewood. I was a real estate agent for years. A lot of people call it Lemaire Park or Iwood, and they try to like distance themselves from Inglewood. And what I love about Issa Rae, even with Insecure and now with The Sweet Life, she always like goes headfirst into the community and isn't like shying away from what it is. So I love that you guys stayed in your neighborhood. We didn't really see you like in Beverly Hills or like, you know, you guys kind of stayed in your neighborhood, which I really, it was that intentional? And how do you feel about this whole gentrification, you know, with Amazon coming there and the stadium and like there's homes now for millions of dollars in Lemaire Park. Like, what are your feelings about that? Do you think gentrification can be good for a community or is it always bad? I'm just curious what you think.
So that's a loaded question.
Yes, it is. I know.
It was definitely intentional to stay in South LA, to film in South LA, Inglewood, Lemaire Park, the Crenshaw District. Definitely intentional. And that's all kudos and shouts to our executive producer, Issa Rae. She loves her community. As far as gentrification goes, it's really a catch-22. Like, it's never good to have the resources, be it land, small businesses, you know, et cetera, taken and drained by a rich white man, you know, or a rich corporation. Like, yep. That's never optimal for minority communities.
Absolutely.
As far as like home prices and property value and land, the positive side of that is like, we do have a new stadium. We're getting another one for the Clippers. Like, we'll probably have better school districts as a result of it. And our if you do already own in these areas, your property value is up a ton. Right. But the problem arises when the culture leaves with the people. So people are selling because, you know, people are giving them offers you can't, it's hard to refuse. So people are selling, we're losing the culture of it. And so I think that's really the worst parts of gentrification. Again, I'm not an urban planner or like, you know, an economist, but to me personally, those are the worst parts of gentrification, is that you lose the culture that once existed in these historically Black or historically Latino minority neighborhoods. That's okay. The worst part to me, but that's why I think it's so important that we have this show and shows like this, like Insecure, that can capture it right now. Right? Because in 10 years, it may or may not look like that. So at least we have this. Somebody has to tell the story, right? So we have this to look to, like, this is what your community once was. And this is, and we know that we can always get back there, regardless of what is happening right now. We can always center ourselves in that we had this at one point.
Got it.
Well, I mean, it's a catch-22.
You answered it beautifully. Like, it's a very loaded question and it's a hard thing to answer, but I do like very much resonate with what you said. So that was really well said.
Yeah. What area did you grow up in, Amir?
I grew up in Orange County, so Laguna Beach. And then I went to USC for undergrad, and then I've been in LA on and off since then. So since 2000, I'm not saying the number. nobody needs to know my age, honey. But yeah, no, it's like I've been around and I've seen LA change. I mean, I've seen downtown LA change. I've seen, you know, properties that were like 500,000 are now 7 million. I mean, it's insane. Yeah.
Especially down by USC. Like, USC looks like a different place.
It's kind of crazy.
The neighborhood over there, like, it's a lot of gentrification happening there too, which for the college students, I'm sure they're loving it, right? But for the residents, maybe not so much, with the metro and like the stadiums and concerts downtown. So it just, I don't know, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So I wanted to ask you, okay, we have to go quickly back because I didn't ask you earlier. So the whole stunt with Miami and the McLaren and all of that, is that really just PJ's personality, or was that kind of a little manipulated? That drama felt like kind of unnecessary. And was it as bad as we thought, like when you were experiencing it, or was it like kind of dramatized a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think... it's so hard to answer. I'm just like, regardless of if that's like PJ's real personality or like made up personality, I was just not a fan of, you know, bringing bringing an extra guest to a birthday trip, right? And like, a lot of the flack I was on Twitter is like, you've been a plus one before, like plus ones are regulars. But yeah, if I was having a party or a happy hour, you know, like, it's a vacation. And then also we're in a pandemic. So I was just thrown off and kind of taken aback by that part of it. The McLaren, it wasn't, if you notice, like in the show, I didn't really speak to the McLaren that much. Like, yes, I do feel like he was trying to flex who would be on, I don't know whether it was on Jordan or Rebecca. But I wasn't too pressed about the McLaren. For me, it was really just, you know, you brought an uninvited guest to my party without ever like clearing it or running it by me. You just kind of pulled up.
Kind of rude. Hopped out. It's a little rude, aside from anything else. It's like, it's common decency to let the guest know, the guest of honor, that you're going to their birthday. Yeah.
So that was really my take on it. And I'll say, like, I know that, and I've said, I think I said this on the reunion, like, my attitude and like my tone and the way that I kind of like approached Miami was wrong. And I did apologize to her at the reunion. For some strange reason, they did not air that. But that was wrong. But my sentiments and like my reasoning behind it still remains. Like, I think that she could have done a better job of like, you know, being affable and, you know, wishing me a happy birthday and like just getting to know me more before she came. And then she kind of got into it with Rebecca. Rebecca's my friend. So I'm not going to take sides with a girl that I don't know all the way, you know? So I think that she, PJ definitely is the person to blame, was the person to blame in all of it.
Yes.
But I think she received some flack that she felt like she shouldn't have received. And so I did apologize for those things. But they didn't air it. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, listen, you can apologize. And if they choose not to air it, that's, you know, that's the narrative that they're trying to create as well. And also for her, like, I felt like I was on her side and then she kind of acted like a villain at the end. And I was like, wait a second. I was like kind of on your side. And then it's like you flip the switch. So I don't know. Listen, I'm always going to side with you because I don't really know her, you know. So, but yeah, let's play a quick game before I let you go. So I think what I wanted to ask you, they're just like, I'll ask you two people from the show and what would you rather? So who would you rather dress you, PJ or Jordan?
Jordan.
Okay, Jordan. And then who would you go on a deserted island? Brianna or, let me ask you something, or Rebecca?
Ooh.
I want to ask you a harder one.
Probably Rebecca. She would keep me so calm. And that's another thing too, like Rebecca's characterization on this show is like the complete opposite of who she is as a person, honestly. But she's such a sweet soul and spirit. She would keep me so calm because I would be freaking out. Like, we have to get off this island.
Totally. I asked this question a lot and I never thought about the fact that you have to get off the island. That's funny. You're good. You're very smart. So if you had a baby one day, who would you, boy or girl, you can pick whoever, which name from the cast would you like rename your, like, you know, name your baby?
Name my baby. I want to have unisex names for all of my kids. So
okay, I love that.
Jalen.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cute.
I want to have like, first of all, I want to have hella kids, but I want them all to have like unisex names. So
I love that. Oh my God, I love unisex names. It's so cute. I had a friend named Ashley and I thought it was so cute that he was named Ashley. I think that's adorable. Okay, so I guess that's not really unisex, but anyway, you get what I'm saying. So I wanted to ask you, so from the guys from the cast, who do you, like, obviously aside from your own boyfriend, but who do you trust the most, like, to talk to or get advice from?
Probably Jalen. Again, like, okay. Me and Tylin are, like, really great friends, and Jalen and Rob have a really great relationship, too. So
I love
we
that.
Developed a relationship outside of the show. Like, we really do hang out, like, in real life, you know, double dates, movies, dinners. And Jalen is, like, a pretty pretty intelligent person, and he has a great way of showing you a different perspective of things, similar to the podcast. And so I probably would go to him. Second would be Gerald, just because he's like a very level-headed individual. And I know that he'll give it to me straight, like his honest opinion.
I love that. I think it's so great that you have people that you can lean on and they're not just your girlfriends. I think it's nice to get like a guy's perspective sometimes.
Totally. And I think Jalen knows that he can come to me too, like with whatever might be happening.
I love that. Yeah. I was DMing with him. He's very nice. He's a very nice guy. Okay. So last question, any updates from Tylin about where you guys are going next? Can you tell us? Can you?
You mean for her next birthday?
Uh huh.
It's giving Italy next year.
Okay.
I think they're on the coast.
Oh my. Okay. And wait, is there a second season? Was that confirmed?
Child, you tell me.
I'm going to DM her. I'm going to DM her manager and be like, give me the deets.
I'm still waiting. We'll see. I don't know why I'm just like so confident.
As you should be. Listen, I think that seeing y'all in the Amalfi Coast, living your best lives, I think, and maybe I'll come too. Yes. I can carry your bags, y'all.
Come with us. We need to do a live like podcast.
Yes, honey.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Listen, Persians do well on the Amalfi Coast as well. We can do it. I love it. Here's to manifesting a second season, right?
Yes. Here's season two. I am raising my glass.
Yes, me too. I'm raising my Starbucks. y'all are going to kill it. I mean, they would be honestly stupid to not give you a second season. So,
thank you so much.
Of course. I've loved having you. I think you're wonderful. I think that the fact that y'all are 25, I mean, when I was 25, I was like running the door to club acting a fool. So the fact that y'all have your shit together is impressive. So,
we still be in the club though, Amir. Like, that's something that I think is a little misconception too. Like, yes, we have it together, but we be a shit show sometimes as well. So
I love that. It was like pandemic time. So I don't think the clubs were even open.
Right. So, exactly. So we didn't really, we definitely filmed, you know, earlier this year. So we didn't even really get to go out and like showcase that side of us. So hopefully right. we get season two, a lot of the restrictions will be relaxed and we can really be like outside.
Totally. Which I love. Oh, one last thing. Have you been recognized yet?
I have. I was at
What was that like?
I was at brunch. So after the show, I went on this like three city celebration tour.
Cute. Love that for you.
Miami, New York, and Chicago. Nice. And people in New York and Chicago definitely recognized us. Like we would walk into places and they're like, I was just watching you on TV. Like, I can't believe y'all are here. People are tweeting, like, just saw the whole Sweet Life on Max Girl Gang. Like, can't believe it. So that was really cool. And then we were in Chicago in my boyfriend's hometown and people that he know are like coming up to him, dapping him up. Like, why you didn't tell me you were back in town, bro? Like, been watching the show. So that's really cool. That's awesome. In LA, you know, LA people are a little bougie. They like are like, yeah, I see her, but I don't see her.
Exactly. Oh, I know how they are. I'm like, yeah. I know, you know who I am.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. So, but I was leaving brunch in K-Town on Sunday and I was just walking across the street and this guy's like, Amanda. I'm like, I'm thinking it's one of my friends, like drunk. I turn around. He's like, I watch you on Sweet Life. I love it. I was like, yeah, like in the middle of the street, like, yeah.
Amazing. So I love that.
That was really cool. That was cool.
I love that. That's amazing. I'm happy people are, you know, recognizing the amazingness of this show. So everyone, go watch Sweet Life. The reunion's dropped too, and it's Issa Rae produced. It's amazing. Go see Amanda. Amanda, where can people follow you?
Yes, on Instagram? You guys can follow me. I'm at AmandaSaidSo_ on Instagram and at AmandaLauren, 2 A's, 2 N's on Twitter. I also have a lash line at The Collection. You can catch up with me there. And I have some new things in the works and on the way, so stay tuned. Thank you so much, Amir.
Of course. And we'll drop all these links and your business as well. And, you know, I've loved having everyone here. And of course, go follow me at Amir Yas Official on Instagram and TikTok. I'm going to be on Dr. Phil next month with Buffy Purcell from Married to Medicine and also Monique Samuels from Real Housewives of Potomac. We're talking about cancel culture. So keep in touch with that. And we're going to continue to bring you some amazing guests. Ebony K. Williams is coming up from Real Housewives of New York tomorrow. So things are going to get exciting for The Take On. Keep on following us. And of course, go follow Amanda and watch this week. Life. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/The Take On. And of course, on my Instagram at Amir Yas Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.